Hi and welcome back everyone. Today we are talking on a very exciting topic, which is information is the pathway and currency to prevent and treat diseases. Joining us is an incredible healthcare innovator and a true visionary in the field, Gil Besh. Gil serves as an ambassador for the healthcare innovation sector. He is included among the Medica Life Top 50 Health Influencers and Top 10 Innovation Catalysts. PR Week includes him among the top 30 most influential people in health PR, and PM360 has awarded Gil their prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award. On this note, let's welcome him. Welcome to the podcast, Gil. It's an absolute pleasure to have you.
Well, it's so mutual to be with you. And I don't think of myself as the sort of like those various lists and honors. No, I think that I'm grateful for them most certainly, but what I'm most grateful for are the people who throughout my career I've been able to learn and share with, and hopefully also help them succeed along their path. And I think that's really what it's all about. I got interested in this topic, by the way, information, health information, and it's been a passion of mine, not because of data or digital health aspects of it, the applications or the technical applications of it. I got involved in this sector, not for the sake of health information or the technology itself, but at looking how important communication was among people. And, you know, in my career journey, my journey actually starts in the health field, not necessarily in the investment aspects or the technological aspects or the communication organizational aspects of it, but actually caring for people. And I've never forgotten that. One of my earliest experiences in information was actually in the military as a combat medic. And when you're in very difficult situations and people are badly hurt, it's surprising what they're looking for. They're not just looking for healing. They're looking for information on a one-on-one basis. And from that experience, I started to realize, from the one-on-one experience, I started to realize that everyone is looking for information. What do I do next? Am I going to live? Can you tell me what's wrong? And I saw information, communication, as the bridge that connects the healer with those people seeking to be healed. And that's the genesis of my 40-year journey in the field. It's not in the honors, which I'm grateful for. It's actually in my desire to help people live a longer, healthier lives.
I truly appreciate your modesty, Gil. But with your extensive experience and the numerous accolades that you have received, you're truly a trailblazer in healthcare innovation sector. And thank you for being here.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. You know, we talk about the health information sector. You know, one of the things I often refer to still in terms of information is in 1995, I published a study that was based on 2-hour in-home interviews with about 12,000 people who had chronic conditions, non-communicable diseases for the most part. And what I found is that these people, despite geography or home economics, sought each other out. In other words, patient to patient, they were seeking each other out on this nascent internet, World Wide Web. And that this was a very powerful force that the health community needed to harness. Now, I did publish the work. People at that time said, patients aren't our customers. Doctors are our customers. Doctors prescribe. People with illnesses, they're not our worry. Now, when we think about it, our whole system has to really revolve around people's health concerns. But what I've learned through the decades is that the patient is not the customer of the system. The system is a customer of itself. And this is the challenge we face. Are we trying to heal, or are we trying to sustain a behemoth of a system. I don't think we're clear about that just yet, but I'm glad we're talking about health information today. And I'm glad we're talking about, I know you're eager to talk about fragmentation. Fragmentation of health information is the illness of the system itself. It is a disease. It is not just a thing or a concept. It is actually a life and death cost effectiveness conversation that we need to put out on the table and start discussing.
You're absolutely right. The fragmentation of health ecosystem has been a persistent challenge. I know of this wealthy woman who went from doctor to doctor looking for an answer to her fatty. And as you mentioned in your story, every time the doctor prescribed her the latest drugs and each of them, but her fatty remained.
Well, you're spot on. You know, there's a great book I highly recommend to the listeners. It's just come out. I got my copy the other day, but I had a chance to read the manuscript by Dr. Ilana Yurkovits from Stanford Medical. And it's titled Fragmented, A Doctor's Quest. And it probably is going to be a bestseller. She is, in her case, she's an internist, an oncologist, and a hematologist, triple board certified. And being an internist, she talks about in her book, and when we speak together, I've written about her. When we speak together, she talks about the fact that often she has to put her primary care physician hat on, and really in order to rally all the physicians who deal with patients to look at the patient instead of the little body part they're looking at. So when we talk about the fragmented health ecosystem, there's different types of fragmentation that's going on. But that word that you use is spot on. Some of the fragmentation we're looking at is among mammoth sectors of our health system. So when we think of the health system, we have us, we're people, right? There's people, there's payers, people who pay for health. In your part of the world, often there's government and private payers that are working together. And here it's really, we have the same, but it's largely a private payer system, unless you're really in need, Medicaid, or you're 65 plus Medicare. We have product innovators, and a lot of our attention goes to them. Obviously, people in biotechnology and pharmaceuticals, digital health, medical devices, all sorts of tools that are used, medicines and tools that are used to heal. And then we have policymakers, the government people, both government and non-government, who determine the pathways of which people access medication. And last but not least, we have the providers, the health professionals, the physicians who really toil tirelessly to heal. Now, those systems, I once had the privilege of moderating a conversation among those different sectors, CEOs. And we're at the table together, very powerful people, well-known people who appear on the cover of magazines, who are interviewed in the business sections of global newspapers. And I asked the question, do you know how each other makes money? In other words, do you know the business model of the person who sits next to you? In other words, if you're head of a major retail pharmacy chain, do you know how the pharmaceutical company makes money? If you're head of a hospital, do you know how the major retail pharmacy chain makes money? The answer was a resounding no. I don't know how they make money. I don't understand their business model. So what you have is people each struggling to ensure their business's success by not looking at a piece of a pie, but recreating pies of which they can sustain their businesses or prosper. So one, you have fragmentation among the different sectors. That's bad enough. Then we have fragmentation around how we access medication. For the most part, people don't understand their health plans, and their health plans change every 3 to 5 years. So they're changing doctors, they're changing health plans, they're changing what medications can they get access to. They're in sort of a complete spiral of loss of understanding how their health insurance system works, who pays for what, how much anything costs even. They're clueless. Understandably, it's complex. Very complex. And then last, we have information itself. Now, when we think of information about us as people, we know about these things called electronic medical records. We know that our health professionals are keying in information into this digital footprint about our medical lives. Problem? It doesn't read like a book. It's not easy to access. And I think 51% of the information in electronic medical records is duplicative. In other words, it appears again and again and again because doctors are really just repeating their last report, or another doctor looks at it and says, yeah, that's about right, and cuts and paste. So if you're a health professional trying to figure out what's going on with a patient, you have to sort through tab by tab by tab by tab. And that's a problem. I will share a sweet yet tragic story about health information and the EMR. When my physician father-in-law was ill the last 13 days of his life, 12 of them he spent in a hospital. The 13th day he came home, and sadly he left this world on that day. But during the 12 days he was in a major teaching hospital. He's a noted physician, had been active in caring for his patients until he was about 95, and really was very, very sharp, very sharp. So just a few things I noted in the health system. One, he used hearing aids. If he took his hearing aids out, he really couldn't hear well at that point. We had a big sign behind his bed that says, patient uses hearing aids. They would come to us and say, he seems to be having cognitive issues. And we would say, did you put his hearing aids in? There's a big sign, see it? That if he has his hearing aids in, he's as sharp as a whip. He's a physician. And they'd say, oh. So one is observation. The basic element of medicine is to observe the patient, the surroundings of the patient. That's information, by the way. So one, to prejudge a patient based on age. It's a poor use of information. And then at a question the nurse asked me once, I said, have you looked in his electronic medical record? That answer is right there. And this is the crux of the problem we face. She responded, I don't have time to see the EMR.
Oh my goodness.
So when we look at that, we realize we're collecting information, but at the bottom line of it all, we have to find a way culturally and physically to make sure that that application is accessible, the information is accessible. I don't know if we'll have time, but I'd love to talk about ChatGPT and AI along with health information, because I think that that's going to serve a very sophisticated and simple at the same time role in making information more accessible.
Perhaps you rightly pointed it out. Technology can bring it all together. You know, we need integrated digital health platforms that can bring together the various stakeholders, as you mentioned, which include the patients, the healthcare providers, the payers, and the researchers. And these platforms then can serve as central hubs for sharing information, coordinating care, and accessing educational resources. And at the same time, it will empower patients to actively participate in their own healthcare. And also, there is a serious void in terms of information flow and care coordination. And we need to standardize the data formats, the terminologies, the communication protocols across the industry for achieving ready access to information.
You are so right. I think you've mapped out a very clear pathway for people to sit down and consider. You know, unfortunately, we don't have a United Nations of health information. And yet when we think of the importance of health information in terms of inventing new technologies and medicines, or even helping a health professional team rally to a patient's needs, information is going to be the essential highway of which we make that happen. And there's no standardization. Part of this is when we look at the platforms of which we offer up information. When you think about it, a physician in medical school gets very little training on technology. Maybe they get a few hours. They don't even really get a course. They don't get a course that deals with all of the digital health tools and technologies, health information, EMRs. There is no real in-depth discussion about that. They learn on the job, as many of us do in our jobs. We learn on the job. The problem is we're creating systems upon systems, and we're using different terminology, often to describe the same thing. And the challenge also becomes, as medicine becomes more inventive, doctors become more specialized. And once upon a time, a orthopedic surgeon dealt with orthopedics, dealt with our body structure. Now, of course, orthopedic surgeons specialize in ankles, in hands, in shoulders, in necks, in spine. And so we become body parts, in essence, to their specialization. And this is also a problem. People are getting lost in the mix. What's becoming more important is my little piece of the puzzle. And our health system is losing the ability to actually synthesize and look at pattern recognition. I have a child who has a chronic disease, a rare disease, and actually diagnosed herself using Dr. Google, not uncommon, had been experiencing multiple symptoms over many years and was seeing multiple top-notch specialists, each treating that one system, that one problem, no one communicating with each other. And using Google, she plugged in all of her symptoms, came up with some direction, and then had a genetic test that confirmed that. This is the power, to your point, of patients actually gaining access to information. Problem, maybe you have a solution, but problem, many people, many patients don't have the background to really search out and become partners in their care. And that's a problem also. I mean, probably the most precious resource we have are our bodies. And yet we know relatively little about them for the most part. So information can really be a tool to elevate the consumer, people, the patient, to engage as partners in the conversation. That's the value of creating information that meets the needs of each of the stakeholders.
Perhaps this is the time in the history where it's not enough just to know. People's interest is to take reliable information, to take charge of their own health, as you cited with the example. And information, of course, acts as both the pathway and currency to a healthier life. What do you think, Gil, are the various ways in which information will become the ultimate game changer in healthcare?
Well, I'm going to bring it to the present. I think information is the ultimate game changer in health all the time, all the time.
Absolutely.
I think that the democratization of information is a question. It may not be needed, but I think that we have to understand that all the stakeholders in dealing with someone's health, someone's personal health, or public health. The challenge is, how do we make information believable, accessible, and actionable? And I do want to point to the period where we're still in the middle of, which is the COVID pandemic. We're actually not through that just yet. It's just that we've tired of the information. We've gone from information anxiety to information exhaustion on that one topic. We still have issues of long COVID. We still are trying to understand the use of inoculation or vaccination. We're struggling with that. But I want to talk to the basic form of information that comes from the power of skilled communication. Part of the challenge we faced during COVID was understanding the extent of this virus, its severity, and the preventive tools available to us. First, we communicated masks weren't necessary. Then masks became urgently necessary. Then we talked about vaccination. Well, our perception of vaccination is like polio. When you're vaccinated against polio, you're protected against polio. These vaccinations really turned out to be tools that mitigated, reduce the severity of the virus. they didn't stop you from getting COVID. They stopped you potentially from dying from COVID. That's actually very worthwhile. But because we didn't have the information about the power of these shots to do their job effectively, reduce severity of disease, people then said, wait a minute, that person got vaccinated and then got COVID. This doesn't work. It's a scam. So what we see is science produces vast amounts of information, health information about us, about medications, about how the system works, about what we should say. We're not comfortable as a people, as a society, saying, I don't know yet. The COVID effort is probably the world's largest epidemiological trial ever conducted. When you think about it, the scores of millions and millions and perhaps billions of people who received an mRNA shot, and they should. The scores of people who succumbs tragically to COVID, some many, needlessly so. All this is about misinformation, mishealth information. So when we look at health information, we've got to rally and continue this conversation, because health information has a dark side to it, misinformation. We have to really rally to health information to prevent the void that people intuitively fill with incorrect information. Incorrect information, whether it's about a patient's individual case or a hospital system trying to control its costs or a payer looking at what medications are effective, incorrect information is a killer.
You mentioned about COVID pandemic. And in case of infectious diseases like COVID, if we go on to using AI and data, it can help us analyze, you know, diverse data sources such as EHRs or social media feeds or, say, weather data or transportation patterns. And by identifying these patterns and correlations, AI algorithms can actually help us predict the spread of diseases, and that will eventually help the public health authorities to allocate resources or implement preventive measures and mitigate the impact of outbreaks. And you also spoke about individual health. So in terms of individual health, you know, if we take records of genetic data or lifestyle information and environmental factors, the technology can actually generate personalized risk profiles. And if we just combine this data with predictive models, you know, AI and data can help us assess the individual's likelihood of developing certain conditions, such as cardiovascular disease or diabetes in the future. So I think it won't be wrong to say that by using information and technology, healthcare systems will shift towards a proactive approach, which is more focused on disease prevention rather than curing the diseases, you know?
You are so correct. You're so spot on. I'm glad you shared that. You know, there's no perfect tool. There's no perfect tool. We're learning all the time. But what you said about preventive or interventional care, AI, ChatGPT can do a tremendous amount to assist us in mining vast amounts of information to come up with conclusions. And I know that people are anxious about ChatGPT and AI, but we're not going to go backward. What we have to do is perfect these technologies. They're only as good. Now, keep in mind, they're not using sort of the human assessment or human judgment. They're sorting through vast amounts of information and synthesizing. Sometimes they're incredibly, incredibly off track. And so when we look at that, we have to remember that the keen human mind will always be necessary, but to synthesize information of that level to prevent the next epidemic will be key. So I'm glad you shared that.
That brings me to my next question, Gil. Looking ahead, what do you envision as the future of data in healthcare? And how can we further leverage this entire concept to enhance patient outcomes?
Well, that's a key question. There's an organization called Galen, G-A-L-E-N, LEN Growth. They're headquartered in Singapore and in Switzerland. And they produce data looking at the digital health sector, vast amounts of data. I think they look at something like, at times, about 450 million data points over about 14,000 ventures in all. And I had the chance to see their recent data and present it at Columbia University. And what we saw when we look at the investment in health information through applications and technologies and tools, actually, the investment in health information for systems still lags. And yet that's where a tremendous need lies. We really have to begin to invest in connecting our diverse, fragmented health ecosystem. The sectors I talked about: patient, payer, product innovator, policymaker, and provider. Those systems are disjointed, and it's very hard to navigate that complex system. So where do I see this going? I think that more and more we need to develop tools that allow information to sort of move seamlessly, at least among provider systems and payers. We need to actually come to some resolution in order to invent new medications faster of how we use blinded patient data to assess what patients are coming up with, what types of conditions, who are on what types of medications, and why. In other words, we're not using health information effectively or efficiently, and so we create redundant systems that cost us a tremendous amount of money. You know, I think in India, you spend about 6 or 7% of GDP on health. In the United States, we're nearing 20% of GDP on health. And actually, our life expectancy in this country is declining. The core reason: our system has become so big and so unwieldy, and we've not invested in the information structure necessary in order to keep up with our own needs. And so we're seeing system fragmentation, and it's splintering more and more and more. So where do I see it going? Well, I think more people, thanks to you and programs like this, are talking about the problem. We see investment in companies that have solutions increasing. We see doctors for the first time, like Dr. Yurkovich's book, Fragmented, doctors coming forward and saying, this isn't working for the patient or for the intent of medicine. It's actually becoming an obstacle to good care. So we see that. So the more people who talk about fragmenting the fragmented health ecosystem and how to navigate its complexity, I think the more people start to say, whoa, we don't lack innovation, we lack application. And I think that the next stage is we're going to see some incredible giants and innovators leap in. We're going to see companies like Apple and Microsoft and Google, and of course, Epic and other players jump in to try to figure this out. We're probably going to see massive government agencies like Health and Human Services and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Beneficiary Services leap in and mandate better structure. We're probably going to see people, companies that have integrated, understand that they can't create duplicate economic systems. They've got to streamline it and reduce costs. So I think that the biggest change we're going to see during the next 3 years is bigger players are going to come in to try to streamline the system. We're going to see government agencies realizing we can't continue to let healthcare costs creep up like this. It's just not sustainable. And I think we're going to see doctors who are really, you know, sort of at the crossroads of all this start to speak out. That's my prediction for the next 3 to 5 years.
Very well said. And just to conclude what you just said, I think the full utilization of these technologies holds tremendous promise for predictive medicine. And I think with further advancements in AI algorithms and big data analytics, there's tremendous potential to transform healthcare by enabling earlier disease detection, personalized interventions, and improve patient collaboration.
Well said.
Yeah, and with this, Gil, we have come to the end of the session. The session was very informative and exciting. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was fantastic.
It's an honor. It's an honor to be here. I know you've had many greats on this program, and it's a privilege to join you and them.
Same here. Pleasure was all ours. So, audience, as we conclude today's episode, we hope you have gained a deeper appreciation for the incredible role that information plays in the prevention and treatment of diseases. And in a world driven by data and information, being well-informed is more important than ever. So thank you for joining us on this exciting episode. And if you enjoyed today's discussion, make sure to subscribe and leave us a review. Stay tuned for more exciting episodes. Until next time, take care. Thank you.